Central Time across Illinois and Indiana. Most locations reported a sunny sky. Temperatures ranged from the low 40s to the mid-40s. At Rockford, 41. O'Hare reported 43 degrees. It was 42 at Mattoon, 46 at Carbondale. 41 degrees at South Bend. Lafayette reported 45. Indianapolis and Terre Haute had a temperature of 43 degrees. Willard Airport reported a sunny sky at the top of the hour. The temperature 45. The dew point 21. The relative humidity 38%. The wind out of the south at 9. The barometric pressure 30.40 and falling. And at 12:38, 43 degrees in Urbana. Although debtors' prisons are illegal across the country, it's becoming increasingly common for people to serve jail time as a result of their debt. Collection agencies are resorting to some unusually harsh tactics to force people to pay their unpaid debt, some of whom aren't aware that lawsuits have been filed against them by creditors. Susie Yon of member station WBEZ in Chicago has more.
Imagine you're driving home and an officer pulls you over for having a loud muffler. But instead of sending you off with a warning, you're arrested and taken right to jail. That's what happened to Robin Sanders in Illinois.
That's when I found out I had a warrant for failure to appear in Macoupin County, and I didn't know what it was about.
Sanders owed $730 on a medical bill. She says she didn't even know a collection agency filed a lawsuit against her.
They say they send out these court notices and nobody gets them.
Sanders spent 4 days in jail waiting for her father to raise $500 for her bail. That money was then turned over to the collection agency. Robin Sanders' story is an increasingly common one across the country, in Indiana, Tennessee, and Washington. Here's how it happens. A company will often sell off its debt to a collection agency, often called a creditor. That creditor files a lawsuit against the debtor, requiring a court appearance. A notice is supposed to be given to the debtor, and if they fail to appear in court, a warrant is issued for their arrest. Beverly Yang is a legal aid attorney with Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance. Yang says most debtors don't know their rights. In fact, she says some judges don't even know the debtor's rights. That could result in the debtor being intimidated into a pay agreement.
And I've seen this even when I'm standing in the courtroom as the legal aid attorney. The judge will ask if they can pay, how about $150 a month? How about $75 a month? How come you can't even pay $50 a month? Did you apply for a job last week?
The Federal Trade Commission received more than 140,000 complaints related to debt collection in 2010. That's nearly 25,000 more than the previous year. Yang says some creditors are eager to use harsh tactics.
Whatever the creditors or the creditors' attorneys can do to leverage some kind of payment, it will help their profits enormously because they have literally millions of these.
There's an assumption in what you're saying is that we would rather throw them in jail than work with them. And I don't find that to be true at all.
That's Kevin Kelly, president of the Illinois Creditors Bar Association. He says members of his organization only issue warrants in extreme situations. Kelly says sometimes it's the debtor who's keeping information from the collectors. That prevents important documents from getting to the right place. He says most collectors want to make reasonable arrangements, but it's difficult when the vast majority don't even respond to any notices sent to them. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan thinks more can be done. It's illegal in Illinois for people to be sent to jail because they're in debt. But Madigan thinks some creditors are abusing the law.
You wouldn't be in that predicament if you didn't have debt. I mean, you know, but for being in debt, you wouldn't be in prison. And that essentially equates to being thrown in jail, you know, debtor's prison.
Madigan says courts need to be certain they have correct information to serve notices. She also says judges need to be properly educated in these proceedings to prevent a debtor from needlessly going to jail. Madigan says the state is also investigating agencies that it thinks are abusing the law. As for Sanders, she has a remaining balance of about $160 on her medical bill. But at least she now knows she won't have to go to jail for it. For NPR News, I'm Susie Yon in Chicago.
An elementary school in Danville has earned national recognition for its approach to fighting childhood obesity by teaching its students how to stay healthy. It's the subject of the first report in our Will Connect initiative on health and wellness. Reporter Lisa Braddock paid a visit to the school to see how the program works.
We won a golden award and a silver award. That's 9-year-old Brooklyn Konecki, who still remembers the day last December that her school, Northeast Elementary Magnet School in Danville, won a national award.
It makes me very proud of our school.
We feel better because we're at a healthy school, so then we feel good about ourselves. Like, some other schools will look up to us and they think, man, they're really fit and small, so we should do that.
That was Noah Heil and Adam Long. Both are 10-year-olds at Northeast Elementary. Their school won the Alliance for a Healthier Generation's gold medal in 2010. The Alliance is a national nonprofit organization focused solely on reducing the prevalence of childhood obesity across the United States. Northeast Elementary is the first elementary school in the country to win the gold medal. Alliance CEO Jenny Ehrlich explains why.
You really feel a palpable difference when you walk into that school. You know they care about health and wellness. You know that they believe that good health and learning go hand in hand.
All right, so repeat after me. Basketball shooting.
Basketball shooting.
Goes to basketball dribbling.
Goes to basketball dribbling.
Basketball dribbling goes to yarn balls.
The work at Northeast Elementary began 4 years ago when the staff decided to commit to a school environment of health and wellness and involve parents, students, and staff in the initiative.
Watch a stopwatch, and every 3 minutes I will move you, okay? That's your cue to move.
Physical education teacher Becky Burgoyne explains one reason the approach at Northeast works.
As a former classroom teacher, I know how important it is to have those students get the exercise, blow off the steam, get some fresh air when it's possible, and then they come back, they're ready to learn again.
In addition to the exercise the students receive as part of their gym class, teachers integrate health and wellness into their subjects. Speech therapist Kate Cox explains her thinking process.
Where can I add movement in to goals I'm already working on? Instead of sitting around a table and getting out a bunch of cards, can I get them up and moving?
Cox uses word scavenger hunts, and Simon Says, to help students work on following directions.
Which is huge, because if you're not focusing, you're not getting the directions anyway.
Fifth grade teacher Lisa Unziker assigned a social studies research project on the topic of food deserts.
On this, and I have some students who want to share with you exactly what a food desert is. And my first one is, what is a food desert?
What is a food desert? A food desert is a community which residents must travel at least a mile to buy fresh meat, dairy products, fruits, and vegetables. It is where at least 20% of people live below the poverty line, and at least 33% live a mile or more from the nearest supermarket.
Eating healthy foods is a high priority at Northeast Elementary. More than half the 274 students enrolled at the school receive free lunches. Deborah Berlin, kitchen manager, shares the day's menu.
Breaded chicken nuggets, baked beans, salad, cinnamon applesauce, and then we have our juice and milk. Oh, it's all reduced fat. The chicken nuggets are reduced fat. We don't fry anything. It's all baked.
Principal Cheryl McIntyre says that their fruits and vegetables program is a big hit with students and parents.
Our fresh fruits and vegetable program that we've been able to have here has been such a key to our kids and our families. And overwhelmingly, our parents talk about how much that means to the kids.
The hard work that goes into sustaining and expanding the health and wellness focus continues even after winning the gold. Known as the Healthy School, there is already a waiting list for next year's admission. I'm Lisa Braddock for Illinois Public Media.
For more information on Northeast Elementary School's program, photos, and links to the Alliance for a Healthier Generation, visit our website, willconnect.org. Our media engagement initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation. And stay tuned for Focus tomorrow at 11 when host David Inge talks with Northeast Elementary School Principal Cheryl McIntyre and others when we take a regional look at schools and obesity prevention. It is toy season, and one of the hottest items on the market this year builds on an ancient concept, the spinning top. The tops are called Beyblades. Hasbro expects them to be popular stocking stuffers. More from NPR's Elizabeth Blair.
One day on the playground at my son's elementary school, I saw a pack of boys all huddled around, watching or doing something possibly illicit. I was suspicious. But now I let them do it at the house.
Three, two, one, let it rip!
They were battling Beyblades, these round metal tops. Six-year-old Charlie Mills has about six of them.
You rip it with a launcher and a string, and it falls in a stadium.
The stadium is really just a plastic tub. Now, kids have been spinning things for fun ever since there were acorns. But the Beyblade has a lot of extras, different colors and styles, its own cartoon.
When I battled with Ryuga at the Dark Nebula organization, I made a mistake about when to make my move.
And best of all, interchangeable parts, so you can build and customize them. Daryl DePriest is vice president for marketing at Hasbro.
Some tops, if they have a very flat bottom, will just launch into the arena, not move very much at all, and kind of spin forever. And those are called stamina tops. Some tops, if you have a little narrow, like a pencil point at the tip, will jump all over the place. And those are called attack tops.
So they're competitive, mechanical, collectible, and mostly under $10. A jackpot for Hasbro. The company says 120 million Beyblades have been sold worldwide. Hasbro has a history with Beyblades. The company first launched them in the U.S. about 10 years ago, and they were a hit back then, too. But Daryl DePriest says it was only conceived as a three-year brand. So to spruce up the relaunch and capture a whole new generation of boys, they added a website where kids can have virtual Beyblade battles. The original Beyblade was made by the Japanese company Takara Tomy, the same folks who made Transformers. And like Transformers, there are different Beyblade characters, like Jinka and the nefarious El Drago, who spins to the left.
Our Japanese partners created the series with a storyline built around basically a collection of kids who harness and master the power of spirits drawn from the constellations who have kind of housed themselves in the form of tops.
This year, Hasbro also held the very first National Beyblade Battle.
My name is Zakiya Garcia. I'm 11 years old, and my title is Beyblade National Champion for the U.S.
Zakiya Garcia lives near Los Angeles. He says his strategy is to practice a lot and to understand what all of the parts do. He also gives credit to his Beyblade of choice, the underdog Big Bang Pegasus.
Big Bang Pegasus, I like it because it's stamina, then defense. So it's still the underdog, but I like using the underdogs. And hey, I made it to the World Championships, so I guess Big Bang Pegasus has been working for me.
In March, Zakiya Garcia will compete in the World Beyblade Championship in Toronto. Bladers from over 25 countries will compete. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
December marks the midpoint.